You're listening to the Fantasy Football Astronauts.
What's going on, everybody? This is Daniel Harms, your host of the Fantasy Football Astronauts podcast. And today I am flying solo throughout space, and that's going to give me an opportunity to go through my top 10 of quarterbacks this year through based on my own projections and models and stuff like that I've gone through. And I have finally have a list all the way down of my top 10 quarterbacks. And that's what we're going to talk about today, because this is one of those, really, those positions we all want to get. We want to get a top quarterback, and we want to find out how we're going to get the best value in these spots for the guys that are going at the top. So let's go ahead and just drop down. We'll talk about the top 10. And from here on out, we got at number one, Josh Allen. I know that it's not the biggest shock value in the world. It's not the hottest take, but Josh Allen, with his upside going all the rushing stats, I just can't see a reason why he doesn't finish the QB1 overall for the third straight year. So yeah, Josh Allen at one. I have Patrick Mahomes at two. I know it's a big issue to fade him this year because of the loss of Tyreek Hill, which we'll get into. And then three, I have Jalen Hurts. We're going to catch a lot of flack for that, but that's fine. I have no issues with that. I think he's got some of the most upside to finish QB1 outside of Josh Allen. So at four, we have Justin Herbert. Five, Lamar Jackson. Kyler Murray at six, Tom Brady at seven, Joe Burrow at eight, Dak Prescott at nine, and the rookie, the second year player, Trey Lance at 10. Now, right off the top, Josh Allen, we'll get into a little bit more of the stats here, because I do think that Josh Allen is not just a great, absolutely phenomenal in his own right runner of the football. I think next to Lamar Jackson, possibly Kyler Murray, he is the most special and gifted running quarterback in the NFL, maybe in NFL history. The way that he's built, the way that he runs the football, it's completely different. He's basically a Derrick Henry type of runner as a quarterback, but he just doesn't necessarily always know when to go down. But we all know that he's got a great setup. I'm interested to see how the loss of Brian Daboll plays into the whole situation in Buffalo, but simple fact of the matter is that he is one of those players that turns away pressures. And on the PFF rankings and their stats, they have a pressure to sack percentage. How often do the pressures turn into sacks? And he is the least pressured quarterback that turns into sacks. It's the 10.6% of the pressures turn into sacks. That's not by a surprise to anybody who's listening to this. And we all know that big time throws, these metrics that are given by PFF once again to show accuracy downfield into tight windows, how many of these throws that you make and you complete. And Josh Allen, you know, surprisingly enough, he wasn't number one. He was tied for number three with the bigger shocker, Derek Carr. That's a very interesting conversation we might have on another time. But Josh Allen has a lot of these throws. But typically, Josh Allen and guys like Patrick Mahomes have a good scheme built around them. Josh Allen typically throws to guys that are open more often than not. And that's why the percentage of those big time throws typically it's not all that high. So it's totally fine that he doesn't have a huge amount of them in terms of being number one, because he's throwing to more open players. He might find a little bit more issue with that this year. Like I said, without Brian Daboll, with Gabe Davis being their number two, he is not the kind of receiver you typically want being your number two in terms of creating separation. So I'm hoping to see him take a jump in that area, because that's really what we're looking for, is him to create some separation and then get the ball down the field. You know, Josh Allen was also one of the top 10 quarterbacks in average depth of target last year, while they were figuring out their offensive struggles with the two high shells and trying to get the ball underneath. He was still able to, you know, get the ball downfield, and that's the biggest thing here for me, is that he's figured out how to take the layups, and they've figured out how to run the ball, and that allows them to create more explosive plays. So the biggest reason he's at number one for me is because he has that rushing upside. You know, Josh Allen has a double-digit rushing touchdown upside. Like Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray, the only other guys that have that upside, and he's going to throw 5,000 yards and close to like 40 touchdowns on top of it. So he's got just that unmatched raw rushing plus passing upside that you don't really see. So, you know, that's really what it comes down to. So I'm not going to do too much more talking about Josh Allen, because I think he's the consensus number one quarterback in fantasy. And Now we're going to get over to my number two quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. And I know that it's been, like I said, it's been a given that he's more of a bust this year. A lot of people aren't taking him as their number two quarterback off the board because, you know, Tyreek Hill's gone. And I can understand that from an outside perspective. But as somebody who covers the Chiefs on a different YouTube channel, the rgrfootball.com, if you guys want to check that out, it'd be cool. I cover the Chiefs, so I have a little more in-depth knowledge of the offensive system, the offensive weaponry, and how they plan on using these guys, and how absolutely pissed off Patrick Mahomes is. I don't necessarily think that people really understand all the flack that he's gotten this offseason. People saying he's not a top five quarterback. You know, people everywhere outside, the big talking heads. I know that they shouldn't be taken seriously, but it's the fact of the matter is we all kind of laugh at them. And it's not just the fans and people who do this. It's Patrick Mahomes. He remembers. Like, he's already known being kind of petty. And when it comes to remembering things and, you know, being the 10th quarterback taken, or excuse me, the 10th pick of his draft, whatever it was, it doesn't really matter, because at the end of the day, he is going to make it work. I truly think he's going to go scorched earth this year. And what I mean by that is using all of the different wide receivers they have, using multitude of backs, using multiple tight ends, and just devastating teams that continuously try to play the two high shells. They're going to keep beating them up underneath. Juju Smith-Schuster, who is a savant at getting into soft zone openings. He's not a great separator, but what he does extremely well and what he's done over the course of the last 3 years, even without his injury, is get open in short areas and in those soft zones, which is what the Chiefs are going to see a lot of. So if you're dropping eight and trying to make Patrick beat you that way, I think that they're going to run the ball a little bit more in that scenario, bring guys up to the line that way, and then they're going to hit you over top and in those intermediate parts of the field. So Patrick Mahomes, I mean, he's the best quarterback in the NFL, in my opinion. Josh Allen is more of a elite runner with that elite upside. But I think in terms of mentally understanding football, mentally understanding the defensive aspect of what he is seeing, I don't think there's any quarterback better. Maybe Aaron Rodgers to an extent with the mental game, and Tom Brady, but he just gets the ball out really quick. So, yeah, Patrick Mahomes this year is, I really do believe, with the offensive line continuing to be elite, he's going to have an absolutely fantastic season and post close to 50 touchdowns. That's why I have him as high as I do, because he's still going to have close to 300 rush yards, probably add 3 or 4 rushing touchdowns, but that's not going to be a huge number. And those 50 touchdowns, what I think he's going to get, is really what's going to carry him to that 2 spot. Now we're going to talk about Jalen Hurts, my number 3 quarterback in my projections, my rankings. This is a little bit of projection also baked into his analysis on my part. I think that the addition of A.J. Brown's not only going to help him be more confident in his ability to read the middle of the field, but it's going to get him yak potential. If you look at the pass catchers last year, Devontae Smith is an elite player, but the way that he plays, he's not a true yak threat. He's really more of a 1B, where you have a guy who's like A.J. Brown, who's going to get yak and get yards after the catch and break tackles and things like that for touchdowns, who's going to draw some defensive gravity. I think that that's really what's going to help Devontae Smith. And in turn, it's going to help Jalen Hurts, because when you watch Jalen Hurts play, he is a very outside the numbers, down the field type of player. Get the ball to the sidelines and kind of throw the ball into some tight windows at times and not really understand how to read the middle of the field. He was one of the quarterbacks that targeted the middle of the field the least amount in the NFL last year. It's a fact. Like, he's just not very good at reading the defense with bodies in the middle of the field. It's hard for him to do that. So I think that adding a huge, massive body in A.J. Brown is going to give him confidence to do that. I also think that him just taking a step forward as a passer is within the realm of possibilities for him. And then there's also the fact that he could rush for 1,000 yards and double-digit touchdowns. So I'm really bought in on not just Jalen Hurts, but the offensive system in Philadelphia. If we think about last year, they came out throwing the ball all over the place. They were just throwing it everywhere. And then it wasn't working out. So Nick Sirianni, on the fly, mind you, it was on the fly. He did this during the season. It wasn't a bye week. He adapted the offense. He looked at his offensive line and said, look, we have a bunch of ass kickers, a really, really top 5 offensive line. We're going to start running the ball, establishing a line of scrimmage, making Jalen Hurts' job easier. We're going to identify the things that he does well, play action, getting the ball to the outside the numbers. We're going to draw some of these defenders in with the play action game. Obviously, his threat to run is extremely high. He's an elite running quarterback in the NFL. And then we're just going to start hitting some easy pop passes for him and get him some guys in space and finally get, you know, guys like Kenny Gainwell down the field with Quez Watkins, who's going to be their deep threat, like true deep threat this year. And you're going to have in breakers from AJ Brown and Devontae Smith just eating up whatever coverage that they're playing. So I'm really bought into this idea that the Philadelphia Eagles, with a step forward from Jalen Hurts, could be a top five offense in the NFL. And that's not any hyperbole at all. I truly believe that. So that's why I have Jalen Hurts as number three quarterback in my rankings. On to four, this guy is an alien. There are really three aliens in terms of pure throwing potential, and Justin Herbert is among Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen in that regard. What he does, honestly, it's like when he throws the football, it explodes, but it stays on this rope that he has from his arm to wherever he's throwing it. He has an incredible ability to throw the ball and not put a ton of air on it, just a velocity and chuck it in there, which I think to sometimes is to his detriment. But he's a much better athlete than people give him credit for. He's a very, very excellent runner. He can accelerate well. He's got a big body. He does fight for extra yards in that regard. So he's not going to have a huge amount of rushing yards and not a huge amount of rushing touchdowns, kind of like Patrick Mahomes in that regard, only because the offense is tailored for him to not do that. They don't want him to get hurt. It's very much Herbert, do your thing, and everything like that. So the one issue, the one modicum, the thing that draws me back from him being in the top three is that when you look at the offense, there is no real speed threat at wide receiver. And I'm just got done watching Mike Williams, his game, because I'm going to do a thread on Twitter about where he is in his development as a player, what kind of player he is, and really how he is their actual deep threat. And he's not a hugely fast guy. He's much more of a big body down the field, 50-50 ball catcher and ball winner. That's what he does. And this offense is built on really two things when you add the fact that Joshua Palmer is going to be that three. You have Keenan Allen, who's their number one, who gets open in the short and intermediate parts of the field at will. He is one of the best route runners in the NFL, extremely underrated, and Keenan Allen does that. He can find ways to just get open. He's going to catch a good amount of touchdowns like he always does, and he seems to go over 1,000 yards every year too. Mike Williams is their deep throw guy, okay? They draw up plays for him down the field, but it takes a little while to develop sometimes because he's not the fastest guy in the world. So last year, when he got hurt, when Mike Williams got hurt, their offensive line got hurt, you started to see some of those deep shots downfield come back just a little bit. They were brought back down because Mike Williams does take a little bit of time. It takes him a little bit more time. So they started to throw the ball other places, and that's how that works. So the offense is running through these bigger-bodied wide receivers that don't have a lot of speed, and Justin Herbert is so gifted and so very good at what he does. I want to see them do more play action and throw the ball down the field a bit more. So I'm hoping that these guys stay healthy, they add a little bit more, maybe get Jalen Guyton more involved in the offense down the field. But when you have Palmer, you have Williams, and you have Allen, you have three guys that are excellent at doing what they do well, and you don't really have a lot of speed. So that's my only hesitancy with Justin Herbert this year, is maybe the precision downfield and the 50-50 winning that Mike Williams typically does takes a little bit of a hit, and that's why I've got him at four. That's really the only reason. Otherwise, you know, Justin Herbert's an incredible player. They're going to have an excellent offense, and they're going to find ways to just continuously be among the league leaders. I think he's going to be among the league leaders in yards thrown and efficiency because they're just that good. Now we're going to talk about the number five quarterback, who we all know has QB1 upside. I'm just not certain he's going to get there with the offensive weaponry around him and then the scheme. There's always questions about the passing offense in Baltimore. Lamar Jackson, electric. That's the only way to describe him. He's such a gifted athlete in open field, open space, all those things. He's just an excellent, overbearing player. He can do whatever he wants to. And when it comes to last year, I think a lot of people are talking about how this offense can really take a step forward. He probably had his best season ever in terms of average depth of target. If I look at it, yeah, it was his best. He had 10 yards on target last year. But if you think about the defense, it was so injured, they had to finally keep up in games. So Lamar was having to throw the ball down the field way more than he was comfortable doing. And while he did hit, you know, his average 64 completion percentage last year, he was not the most efficient quarterback in the NFL. And when you're a running quarterback, running within a running offense, you have to be more efficient with the ball and to be able to hit some of those plateaus that he did. So in his MVP season, you know, he threw for 3,000 yards, but he had his highest completion percentage rating at 66.1, and that's going to help you a lot, being more efficient. And when you're more of an average completion percentage quarterback, you have to be able to complete the ball down the field. So they don't have Marquise Brown anymore. They have Rashad Bateman as their number one. We all know that the number one actual passing option is Mark Andrews. And then you have a bunch of guys, like just dudes that are okay. Devin Duvernay, James Prochet, they just brought in DeMarcus Robinson, you know, Tylan Wallace, all these guys that aren't really great, and they're supposed to be able to comprise this passing offense based on the running game. So I'm interested to see how that's going to work, again, because it's new offensive weaponry without Marquise Brown. But again, Lamar Jackson, his rushing ability for 1,000-plus yards, and again, double-digit touchdowns, it's really the reason that he's as high as he is. He's going to be those Konami Code quarterbacks, that they call him, in the fantasy space, and that's really what Lamar Jackson is. He was one of the originals with them, Michael Vick and things like that, being the ultimate Konami Code quarterback. And that brings us to, Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is a very interesting study. He's much like Jalen Hurts in the sense that they aren't the most gifted passers in the middle of the field. They like to throw it to them. With that air raid offense in Arizona, it allows Kyler Murray to be his best self, throw the ball outside the numbers, really get the ball into all of the different playmakers' hands that they're going to have, and get the ball out quickly. He can throw it down the field, he can throw wherever he needs to. So I believe a healthy Kyler Murray is a much better passer and thrower of the football than Jalen Hurts is. And he's also just as elite of a rusher as Lamar Jackson. So when you have that type of ability in an offense that's going to let you throw the ball around a lot, and he does take some hits, and that's the reason that he's been more of an inefficient player over the last few years. When he gets hurt, he really takes a hit with his rushing ability. So we're hoping he has a fully healthy season. And any one of these Konami Code quarterbacks, if they go off throwing the football and they have an excellent season rushing, like that's just what they're going to end up at. So, you know, Kyler Murray's average depth of target, funny enough, has only ever been 8.3 yards per attempt. So that's an interesting little dynamic in that offense. He does like to get the ball out quickly. And now that you add Marquise Brown to that, we know that DeAndre Hopkins is going to be suspended for the first six games of the season. What's going to happen there? Is it going to be Marquise Brown having to take over as the number one and kind of limiting their offense? Is Rondell Moore going to take a step forward? What are they going to do with their running backs? Is James Conner still going to be heavily involved in the passing game? Like what Zach Ertz and all the guys that they have, Trey McBride, are they going to keep using two tight ends? They're going to use more of them. It's going to be interesting to see what they do this year. But I do think a healthy Kyler Murray with his rushing ability, again, has that ability to just be a top six quarterback. So you're hoping that he takes a step forward, reading the middle of the middle part of the field, and he can be an accurate quarterback as he's been the last two seasons. He's gotten better ever since his rookie season. 64% completion percentage to 67% completion percentage to 69% completion percentage last year. So he's got to really hit that 4,000-plus plateau mark, which he never has either, and that's interesting on his part. So he's going to take a step this year, hopefully when DeAndre Hopkins comes back. It gives him a trusted target that he can really beat down and get some more comfort with. Because if they can get that passing game going in Arizona with a better offensive line than they had last year, I do think that their offense can continue to ascend in that way, and he can be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Now the seventh rated quarterback that I have on my rankings is good old Tom Brady. Now, this comes before understanding all of the different injuries that they're having on the offensive line. Like, this is a bad way. The interior went from being an elite interior offensive line to being injured and really not having any elite players on there. I mean, they're going to have to find ways to manufacture some pass protection, some run blocking, because the way that they built this team really was through being able to run the football with this elite offensive line, keep Tom Brady healthy and upright. And when you can keep the interior help clean and let him move him around in the pocket, that's how he's going to distribute nearly 50 touchdowns and go for 5,000 yards, which, you know, 5,300 yards last year and 43 touchdowns next to 12 interceptions is a really, really excellent stat line. And if he wants to get near that again this year, they're going to have to find ways to manufacture that. Maybe they run the ball a little bit more to try to give Tom Brady more of a play-action pass. But we know that Chris Godwin's going to be active week one. We don't know how effective he's going to be. But, you know, with Tom Brady, as long as they can keep him upright, I do think that there's no reason to suspect him being on the outside of the top 10. He's just that good of a quarterback. I don't see any reason why he would slow down after having some of his best statistical season ever. I'm pretty sure, like, close in 2011. Yeah, it was his best statistical season ever. Yeah, no slowing down for good old Tom Brady at 45 years old. So he's just going to be able to keep that offense on the field with the addition, I think, Russell Gage, Julio Jones. You have Mike Evans. You have Chris Godwin. They have a really solid group of pass catchers at wide receiver. Tight end's a little iffy with Kyle Rudolph and Cameron Brate and the rookie Cade Otton out of Washington, who I think is going to play more than people expect him to. It's interesting. The running back situation, you know, good old Lenny, check down Lenny last year, caught like 80 balls or had 80 targets. They have Rashad White too. Giovanni Bernard, I think, is still kicking around back there, but they're going to have to find ways to keep Tom Brady upright. If you do that, he's going to continuously bring them into the playoffs and have another great season like he did last year. So I got no issues with Tom Brady being even up as close to five or four. He could finish that high, especially if he has a season like he did last time. This is where people probably disagree as well. With Joe Burrow coming in at 8, I'm one of the people that really speaks out among the efficiency and accurate parts of last year that aren't necessarily going to carry over. He was, you know, one of the most accurate passers last year, throwing the ball down the field, just being accurate while he was under pressure, deep ball catchable pass rate, and accuracy rating versus man coverage. All these things can fluctuate year to year. I just think that they're going to come down a little bit next year. And with that, it's going to bring some of his touchdown numbers down. And, I mean, honestly, when you look at everything in its entirety, you still have Ja'Marr Chase, who's a top five talent at wide receiver in the NFL. T. Higgins, who's an excellent Mike Williams type of player. He's really more of a hugely downfield threat when they can win the ball over the field. One of the best slots in Tyler Boyd. And when you have all of those players in an offense, they're going to be able to find ways to do a really, really good job. And I think that one of the only things holding them back from continuously throwing the ball all over the yard is Zach Taylor, their head coach, who was really kind of limiting them at times last year and finally realized that, you know, they just got to let everything out and do everything and be the best that they can be in that situation. So they finally figured that out last year. And when they were able to do it, when the tough went kept coming, that's what they ended up doing. But Joe Burrow last year still finished as the QB9, and people have him ranked as like the 6th and 5th quarterback when I just don't see him being able to do that. And I still have him, you know, taking a step forward in the fantasy realm, but still finishing a top 10 quarterback and being one of the better fantasy quarterbacks in the NFL because of the playmakers they have and how accurate he still is going to be with the football. So I'm not like trying to rag on Joe Burrow. The dude's an elite pocket mover. He has a great understanding of pressures. You can't blitz him, much like Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, those quarterbacks you can't blitz and you can't get away with it. They know exactly where to go with the football when you blitz them, or they can find ways to make a guy miss in the pocket or in space and then get the ball down the field. Joe Burrow is an elite mover inside the pocket. His feet are quick. He's not the fastest guy in the world, but he knows how to maneuver and manufacture little tiny micro movements to get out of the way of pressure and then deliver the football. So I'm very confident in Joe Burrow as a top 10 player and as an elite quarterback in the NFL. But I just think in terms of fantasy, he has a little bit more middling scenario in the top 10 area than he does have top 5 upside. At 9, we have Dak Prescott, hoping that he can take a step forward, maybe rush a little bit more than he did last year, which has been the biggest issue in terms of his fantasy production. The offensive line took a big hit the other day with Tyrone Smith pretty much done for the season when it comes to Tyron Smith. He's been dealing with injuries for years and years and years, and he's just dealt with another one now. And an Achilles tendon where it came off the bone, so they got some issues there. The same injuries Mekhi Becton suffered in New York and the Jets. So hoping that Dak Prescott can take that step forward, and really it's kind of be kind of saturated on that offense with CeeDee Lamb and Dalton Schultz, maybe a little bit of Jalen Tolbert mixed in there. But Dak's really going to have to be running the ball a little bit more with himself. Maybe they involve Tony Pollard more in 21 personnel sets and get him as a slot receiver so they can have someone with some yak ability on that offense a little bit more than you'd like to see. You know, CD still being a slot Z receiver, he's not really an X. So they need to do a good job of getting him and CD on the field at the same time to get the most yak potential on the field for the benefit of Dak and the Cowboys, because like I said, that offensive line could not be very good this year. And if he's going to continue to have these top 10 quarterback abilities like I believe he does and possesses, one, he needs to be more confident in his rushing ability, and then he just needs to be a little bit better when delivering the football. If he's fully healthy, he'll be a much better pocket quarterback than he was last year after coming back from his injury. And I do think that he's going to have this kind of top 10 upside. Again, keeping him upright and him on the move a little bit more is going to do wonders for this offense. It's going to be kind of interesting because I think that his range of outcomes could be anywhere from 8 into possibly the middle of like 15. Like, I think he could be that low this year because of the weapon loss, the offensive line. But I think that he's going to have, you know, a good season. I think they're going to find ways to, you're going to think Kellen Moore is going to do a good job of getting CeeDee Lamb and Dalton Schultz, Tony Pollard, and Jalen Tolbert open for Dak to find those windows and get him up there in some touchdowns. To round it all out, we got first-year starter Trey Lance, second year in the NFL of the San Francisco 49ers. This is one is much a projection based on like a Josh Allen type of role in his first couple of seasons where he's going to be an elite rusher. He's going to run dudes over. He's going to outrun people, and he's going to be able to run for touchdowns. But the one caveat that Josh Allen didn't have his rookie second year season is that he has Trey Lance, has Deebo Samuel, he has Brandon Ayuk, he has George Kittle. These things give him top five upside, and I think when you compare that with his rushing ability, his rushing floor is so high that he could just be an elite rusher of the football this year. No one bat an eye, and he would rush for close to like, you know, 600, 700, 800 yards, add close to 8 touchdowns with that. And I don't think anyone would be shocked by that. And the reason I have him in the top 10 is because of Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk. His ability to throw the ball down the field is so different than Jimmy Garoppolo. Last year, Jimmy Garoppolo was one of the most... He targeted the middle of the field and the intermediate short parts of the field more than any other quarterback, I think, in the NFL. So he's much more adept at throwing the ball down the field outside the numbers. And they also like Danny Gray's speed, who I think is going to really help keep the top off that defense and get Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk on some in-breakers. And you can really throw a bunch of different things at defenses when you have Kittle as well. This offense is just, I think Trey Lance will unlock it to an extent. They're going to do a great number of things running the ball. That's just going to give Trey Lance a bunch of layups in the passing game and really going to allow him to accentuate this offense into realms that we haven't really seen or ever heard of with, you know, with Jimmy Garoppolo. So Trey Lance as number 10 for me is where we're going to round out today. And I'm hoping you guys enjoyed this. I like to give a little bit of inside information into my own things, my own actual projections now that I'm going to, you know, have this podcast to myself. We'll have continue to have more guests next week. I'm going to have my buddy Kevin from Football Guys on. Make sure you guys listen into that. And yeah, we're going to all done for today. I hope you, again, hope you guys enjoyed it. You can check me out on Twitter at InHarmsWay19. Also, make sure to follow the Fantasy Football Astronauts podcast and the Fantasy Football Astronauts page on Twitter. If you're not, it's just at Fantasy Football Astronauts. Pretty easy to find. You guys have a great day. I will see you next time. This is Daniel Harms, and we are blasting off.